You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. After much debate in the State House, as well as numerous people speaking out about House Bill 377, last week, Governor Little signed the controversial bill into law. Now, the new law bans school spending that in some way forces students to, quote, adopt or, quote, adhere to the belief that an individual is responsible for actions committed by members of their race or identity group in the past. It also bars schools from teaching that one identity group is superior, a teaching Republican lawmakers have attributed to critical race theory or liberal indoctrination they fear is happening in Idaho public schools. Now, before the bill passed in the State House, there was opportunity for public testimony, and many students showed up to testify, including Boise State College student Graf Kirk and Boise High School student Shiva Rajbhandari. They are both joining us today, along with State Senator Melissa Wintrow, who has championed the students' causes. I want to welcome all of you to the program.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Graf, I'd like to start with you. As I mentioned, you're a college student at BSU, but before we talk about your college experience, can you briefly talk a little bit about your K-12 experience in Idaho and how this idea of critical race theory potentially played out in your education?
Right. Yeah, so I went to Boise High School just down the street from the Capitol. And, you know, I wouldn't be able to say too much on K through 12 since it's been a while. Thankfully, we have a high school student here. But yeah, I will say, as someone who's been in the state for nearly 10 years, that we're seeing a really big shift in the legislature looking at education and wanting to take a little bit more control over what's been going on in our classrooms.
Mm-hmm. And Shiva, same question for you then. I mean, when you look back, I mean, as I mentioned, you're in high school, but if you look back at your K-12 experience, are these ideas that some lawmakers say are happening in the schools, was that your experience?
Unequivocally, no. I think in the whole concept of critical race theory being taught in schools is frankly BS, and it's been propagated by some of the members of the legislature to try to intimidate and try to scare especially their constituents that, liberal conspiracies are spreading in our high schools. When really, I mean, we learn math, we learn science, and we learn government, and we don't learn anything about one race is better than the other or anything like that. And even when they were presenting this bill, they even said that, they said, this is proactive, not reactive, which really calls into question, like, what's even the purpose of this bill in a state mm-hmm. where we pride ourselves on not having too much legislation? And having more individual freedom and local control.
So, Senator Wintrow, I think Shiva brings up a good point, because it seems that this issue came up in the State House just this legislative session. I mean, I do not remember this coming up as a concern in past legislative sessions. So why do you think that this is happening now?
You know, I addressed this on the Senate floor when the issue came to us, and I do, you know, when I looked at the legislation, I thought, I'm going to do a little research. And Idaho is not the only state that's introducing this kind of legislation. There are many very conservative states all over the country that are doing this. It's template legislation. And so then you have to scratch your head and ask yourself, where did it come from? And I do believe strongly that it came out of the reaction to 20 million people in the United States, is estimated, who took to the streets in mostly peaceful demonstrations to protest what they watched on a video. And that was a police officer murdering a black man and getting by with it. It is clear that there has been a backlash against folks who are kind of, the blinders have come off, and they're starting to realize, hey, racism isn't just an individual act of meanness. Like, that officer's knee on that man's neck was racist. But then when you look at systems that embrace, protect, tolerate, et cetera, that's when the blinders came off. And you hear people talking about that all over. And this is merely a reaction, a backlash to folks saying, hey, we've got to end a problem that has been going on for centuries. And some folks, and you see the Idaho Freedom Foundation very clearly publicize that they're afraid that this is going to harm their way of life. Well, if their way of life is white supremacy and racism, then so be it. So be it.
And Graf, you go to Boise State University. They have definitely come under the crossfire of many legislators, this session in particular, in regards to this idea of critical race theory, of social justice education being taught in the classrooms. You know, talk to me about the education that you are receiving, boots on the ground, at Boise State.
I love that you say boots on the ground. That's something that we really need when we're talking about laws and really conversations, themes that are happening in the legislature that will have really fundamental changes over legislation for a generation. That's what we need. We need to be talking to teachers. We need to be talking to students, and we need to be talking to parents. That's something that I've actually been doing a lot of and been taking it upon myself to reach out to my classmates. Recently, there was a course that came under scrutiny by the Idaho legislature. It's called UF 200. I happen to be in that class. It's a class on ethics and diversity, and it's a university foundation's required course. What I did is when that started to come under scrutiny, I emailed every person in my class and asked them frankly how they felt about it. Do you feel like your views are being silenced? Do you feel like there's an agenda going on? And every single response I got was ambivalent at worst. Most people were actually really appreciated how fair the course was about the material and saw why it was important for us. And as a student government leader as well, I've been working with lots of students. A lot of them honestly don't know what's going on at the legislature, which is really concerning because these bills will affect them. And once they learn about them, they're really shocked.
And Shiva, I know that you are an activist. I mean, you did a lot to get people registered to vote this last election cycle. So I'm curious about what you also see within your educational environment, within your high school, because it seems that more and more students are getting involved. I mean, definitely much more involved than anyone was when I was your age.
Yeah, that's right. I think we've seen, especially in this legislative session, a trampling of our rights that as Idahoans, I mean, and who hopefully plan to live and stay in Idaho, when a law is passed, that stays in law for years, and that's going to affect our, not only our future, but the future of our children and our grandchildren. And so I think as students who are so affected by these laws and seeing them, just seeing really backwards thinking from some legislators involved. And I think as at Boise High, especially, we're definitely privileged to be only a few blocks away from the State House. So I try to bring my friends, and I know a lot of people who really like to go down and testify and just share a student view and kind of ground the legislature in reason. It's really tragic that a bunch of students have to be the voice of reason for an entire.
I think we just lost Shiva there for a minute, but I want to go to Senator Wintrow, because I think that Shiva brought up a good point about, you know, their voices needing to be heard, right? Students' voices needing to be heard. So what about this reaction among legislators when students get involved, when they testify? Because both Shiva and Graf testified at this public hearing in regards to House Bill 377. I think it's fair to say that there are, I mean, many adults, not just legislators, who don't like the idea of kids, and I'm saying that in quotes, having an opinion.
Yeah, you know, I was just so impressed when I, you know, I know both of these students, and boy, the voice of reason, and they're just right on target with the concerns about local control and government. And I was really struck when I first met Graf, because the thing that rang in my ear is he said, you know, y'all ask us to be involved and engage in government, but when you do things so quickly, or things turn on a dime and you can't find agendas or this or that, you can't participate in government. And he's absolutely right. I think this House bill in particular, as I shared with the students, was greased to begin with. It was done as a deal to lament and pacify some of the really hard conservative folks who were gonna defund budgets. And so the bill was a negotiation tool to say, okay, let's put something through, and then you can vote on these budgets and be assured that critical race theory and social justice would not be attended to in schools. So I think that's really the troubling part, and the thing that saddens me is that government committee time, that's where the work is done, should be a time to listen to testimony, should be a time to weigh debate, to think things through, to ask questions. But it feels like most of our committee meetings this year are basically already decided. Many bills are put forward and just shoved through, regardless of the thoughtful, reasonable, sensible testimony, especially from these students. And I watched the Senate hearing in my office. I was so impressed. And I told them, look, no matter what, even if it is greed, you got to get your voice on the record. Don't let it be said you haven't been heard. And then I have to work with my colleagues to ensure that systems are functioning as they should in government, and people need to hold us accountable to that.
And Shiva and Graf, I'm curious about when Senator Wintrow says that, about how it makes you feel as a student who takes the time to go and testify, knowing full well the likelihood of your voice truly being heard. So Graf, I'll start with you.
Yeah, and actually to clarify, I did not get to testify. There were lots of students in attendance. I had made sure to coordinate with high schoolers who couldn't be there, with different student governments across the state who wanted to have their voices heard but couldn't make it. There was not a single student in attendance who was able to testify at that Senate Education Committee hearing. There were some on Zoom, you know, but the number of students we had in that room were not listened to. Of course, except for Shiva here. Shiva had to stand up and look the committee chairman in the face and say, hey, I missed class to be here. If that's what has to happen for us to have a voice in legislation that it will directly affect us, I think there's a critical problem here.
Mm-hmm. And Shiva, talk about that moment when you did stand up.
Yeah, so I stood up and I said, hey, I missed class. And this bill does directly impact students, and we haven't heard from a single student. You know, could I have the opportunity to testify? And a few of the committee members, you know, were like, no, we want to vote on this bill. But luckily the chairman was reasonable enough to let me speak. But as far as like the experience that we kind of had in the legislative session all together, trying to testify both virtually and in person, it's been very difficult for students to get their voice heard. I think a lot of the chairman pick and choose who's testifying. You know, you sign up and you say a pro, yes or no, like against or for the bill. Mm-hmm. And then often, you know, we hear a relatively same number of yes and no, when in reality, the number of people who signed up to testify were majority no, you know, kill this bill. So I had a friend who came with me to the State House to testify, and I had a few friends who were signed up, and none of them got the opportunity. And that was really disheartening. But as far as what Senator Wintrow is saying as to, you know, listening to students, I really appreciate her work and her, you know, wanting to reach out to us and engage us in government. And I think that the other members of the legislature who are more resistant to listen to students, especially on bills that affect us directly, I think they'll get what's coming to them eventually. And that's in terms of being voted out as, I mean, millennials, Gen Z now make up what, 45% of the electorate. And then also in that, you know, we're being turned away from their party, we're being turned away from their ideals, and we're being pushed towards people who really care about what we have to say and who really want to listen to us. And so I really appreciate Senator Wintrow's sentiment, but regardless of it, you know, I'm gonna vote for someone who's going to listen to me and someone who has listened to me and someone who is willing to consider my views, even when they're contrary to their own, and think about how it affects all Idahoans. And so, yeah, that's kind of where I stand on that.
Griff, I'd like for you to talk about your concerns in regards to the impact that you believe that will be seen with this bill, but also how you believe that's actually different from the stated language in the bill.
Right. Thank you. That's a good question, because I think those are two things that are very, very different. The stated language of this bill is to protect students and to establish or keep dignity in the classroom, and to encourage an openness for ideas. But what we're seeing is something that's going to be very far from that. What these lawmakers aren't outwardly understanding is that this bill, the language in this bill doesn't really matter. What does matter is what we'll see in the classroom. So what we're seeing right now is a culture where educators are looking over their shoulder and worried about those budget cuts. They're worried about the state, and they're worried about being the legislature coming after them for what they're mm-hmm. teaching, instead of worrying about what's really important, and that's to teach their students what they need to know.
And I want to talk also a little bit about Representative Chris Mathias. He's the only Black legislative member in Idaho. And yesterday he gave an impassioned and very measured speech regarding these issues. This was in conversations regarding the passing of a higher education budget, which finally just happened. So I'd like to read just a little bit of his speech. So he says, quote, critical race theory and critical race theorists do believe this single thing, that America's social institutions, our legislatures, our courts, our schools, you name it, they do have, to varying extents, they are embedded to varying extents with some bias toward people of color. I don't think that's controversial. He goes on to say that too often we've heard the argument, well, this isn't happening here, as if teaching about racism, social justice, our history of slavery, the practice of redlining, discrimination, and Jim Crow laws shouldn't be part of our education system, unquote. And Senator Wintrow, he talked about his own experiences with this, yet he was cut off in this speech, and he's talking truly about why there is a necessity to have these conversations.
Yeah, you know, I haven't talked to Representative Mathias yet. We were texting, but I think it's not surprising, deeply troubling, and a very good reflection on what's happening in our government and our state right now. Here is the only Black man that is sharing his ideas, views, and personal experiences, quite frankly, and he is shut down repeatedly, gaveled and objections. And so, as I said in a social media post, the representative struck a nerve, and that nerve is powerful. Now, what has been hard here is that folks don't understand the difference between a white supremacist and what white supremacy is, right? And when mm-hmm. we talk about right. white supremacy in the classroom or outside or anywhere, we're talking about when in our culture, we have seen, intentionally and unintentionally, that people who are white, their race does not work against them, right? And we see this everywhere. And even in our own legislature, almost all the faces are white across the country. It took us how many years to have the first Black president? You know, the blinders are coming off for folks, and it's uncomfortable for white folks to actually think about, I might have been involved in a system that I was told was fair, and maybe it isn't quite as fair as I thought it was. And we're taught that everything begins and ends with individualism. If you just work hard enough, if you just do X, if you just do Y, and hard work isn't enough if institutions are intentionally putting down barriers. And I'll give you an example. In our district on the Mesa, I met with a constituent who bought his home there. In the deed, it said in black and white, you may not sell or own this home unless you are white, unless the person living there is a servant. That's still on his deed from the early 50s. We're trying to get rid of that kind of language, but that's an example of how we institutionalize racist attitudes, values, and beliefs. It is amongst us, it is with us, it would do us very good, and it would do that white legislature's good to listen to him and to listen to others. We have to face this and unravel a long history of racism. It's not going to be comfortable, but it is absolutely necessity, and people's lives depend on it.
Mm-hmm. And Shiva, you know, I'm curious when you heard these comments that the representative made. I mean, is that frankly part of the reason why you advocate as a student? Is that, I mean, you are a Gen Zer, and I really do believe that your generation sees the world differently than many of these legislators do.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I was really amazed by Representative Mathias's words. And I thought that the irony of the legislature in cutting him off was kind of astounding to me. I mean, they brought up this critical race theory bill as this counter to the Marxism that had spread across America, or whatever that means. But then they're practicing government censorship and not letting students who are directly affected by this bill speak. They're practicing government censorship by not letting teachers and local communities make the decisions regarding their education. And they're practicing government censorship in shutting down someone who is frankly speaking from his heart and telling us exactly what like he had experienced as a person of color in Idaho. And frankly, I mean, I'm not surprised, but it's a little bit it's tragic, and it is definitely racism.
Mm-hmm. And Graf, where do you go from here? I mean, this has been signed into law. Where as a college student, where as an activist do you go from here?
Yeah, well, I first want to say that it's no surprise that we saw this legislation come through in a pandemic year. It's no surprise that we're mm-hmm. seeing this when a lot of our colleges are on spring break, or in their finals week or their dead week. This is a really important piece of legislation to us. And we weren't able to effectively come together and speak up about this. And we were kept out from these conversations. What's important to know is that this is just the start. Or moreover, this has been happening for a while now, and it will continue. So really our job is to work together. I want to call out to all the students, you know, high school, elementary, and middle school as well, to parents who have children in those schools, and to educators. This is something that's going to keep on going, and it's really important to have your voice involved. So, you know, there is a lot of power in the people, and we do need to speak up for these sort of things that will continue to affect us for a long time.
Well, I want to thank all of you for taking time out of your busy days to talk with us. I will tell you this, as a mom, you two give me hope for the future. We've been talking with Boise State College student Graf Kirk, Boise High School student Shiva Raj Bhandari, and State Senator Melissa Wintrow. Truly, thank you for your time and your perspective on this.
Thank you, Gemma.
Thank you so much.
More Idaho Matters next.